Live.
We're live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast and it's hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am not little Chris. So yes, I am
No.
back. So
Yay.
thank you for tiny little Chris for filling in for me last week. I wasn't all here, shall we say, all there, or I was everywhere. But yes,
You were
I was
somewhere.
somewhere.
He's told me he's going to fill you in again.
He always fills it in.
Anywhere.
And now he's on them steroids, the generic freak that he is. Tonight is a special episode. We have an amazing, a beautiful, a darling of the podcast join us tonight. He has gotten so much shit, and always he is there for us. Always. And it's a nice little announcement we'll make tonight as well. Because for people who don't know, Lee is very much involved and does so much work on a little web series called Top Grumps. Well, that little web series has grown up. It's no longer going to be a web series. And from officially this Tuesday, it has been upgraded, stamp of approval, to podcast status. So.
We've made it,
Pod,
guys.
pod, pod.
So
I couldn't have done it without my friend Chris.
Oh, but saying that though, Chris has give us a little message for you tonight. He wrote us a letter, so he wants us to pass on a little message for you. So, and because I think Chris is a little bit what Chris is a little worried, because he's scared because we're bringing two forces together tonight, and we'll introduce the other one in a few moments because we're going to introduce her properly. But Chris is a little worried because there's been posts in the Discord that, and especially when you'd made the new Anime Club logo with the photo of Lee and Phoebes, I think he's getting a bit nervous about it. So he's like, "My dearest Lee, you've always been the brains and behind Top Grumps. You record, run the social media, barely, and make the sketches. I owe all the Top Grumps success to you. Oh, bless him. I know you are talking about replacing me with Phoebe. Scandal. But I will try harder, and from now on, I will match your sexual energy, like you will no doubt exude tonight. Yours, hopefully, Chris." So he wanted me to pass on that message because I think he's getting a little bit worried. And he sent us a video this week as well. So I'm just going to put the little video for everyone just to enjoy and experience.
That is absolutely magnetic.
So just for everyone who's like watching, I hope basically like the words that came out of my mouth can do the justice of that little wiggle that Chris is just doing there.
Finger pointing.
Yep.
For me, then.
For me, it's when he turns around and just does one little
So that's the little experience for little Chris now. And it says subscribe for more of this as well. So we'll get more dancing, more Chris, more whatever that was. So yes, so welcome Lee.
But no, I couldn't have done any of Top Grumps without Chris. He's absolutely amazing, and I would not replace him this month.
We've already got a cackle out of Thebes as well.
My dirty
So
old man laugh.
brings us on to the debut, the new guy to the nerds. Well, she's not much of a new guy now. She's busy getting herself well stuck in, getting herself involved, and basically becoming a huge part of the community, which we're enjoying. So Phoebe's not ready for this because we always do like the surprise of new people. So Phoebe,
Oh, no. I wasn't ready for this.
no, give us your nerdy credentials. Tell us a little bit about your nerdy self there.
I have been bullied since I was a child. No.
It's unreal that's a childhood trauma.
Drama nerd by background, so like tonight you will be getting a boring level of production research. And
Isn't
yeah, big
that
into anime, big into
what
sci-fi, love the
Yes.
Trek, love the Star Wars. That's my credentials, like all unofficial.
Yes. But yeah, so she's underselling herself. Like Phoebe is a big part of like other communities, and she's joined. Well, she was enticed over from the dark side,
Oh.
the OF, shall we say, Not that OF, Chris. I can't say it. Or did he inflate?
I can't say it either.
And she's kind of taking a shine to us nerds. And you can probably tell by her accent, she's not quite as northern as some people, but we've embraced her like a northern. And I think I give her a new nickname. And I think I've given her a new nickname as the Southern Siren. So that will go with that one.
I'll take that.
So Phoebe is joining us tonight. So Sammy, do you want to give us the disclaimer?
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Sure. Everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook group. You can join us in the Discord or the comments section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. Mm-hmm. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of nerdism.
Very well said. Oh, Lee, also, didn't I get power move there as well? You missed that time. He's like, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I like that, Lee. Yeah. That was fun.
And there's a reason why we invited these two tonight, because these two have been fighting over the love and the affection of little Chris. Like, the battle has been drawn. So I thought we'll get them together with probably one of the ultimate kind of like battle or like fighting over a man story a little
love
bit.
Rival.
Love rival.
Love triangle.
Yeah.
I mean, but
whatever crazy that world that Chris.
I didn't think that would ever occur with Chris ever. But here we are in 2025 and there's two people fighting over Chris. What's happened?
The world's about to end.
Where did we go
wrong? The sign of the apocalypse.
And tonight, I can't believe like how many episodes we've done on this podcast.
We've gone 4 years.
And this is the first time, really, this movie has came up for discussion. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, what's wrong with us? Are we really nerds? Are we really movie fans? Do we actually like films?
Who the fuck are we?
But yes.
Honestly, it blows my mind that we've not done this. And when Paul suggested it, I was like, how have we not done this before? Because this is one of mine and my sister's favourite films, who should have been here today, by the way, but is not.
Yeah, she knocked Sammy back, so she turned Sammy down.
She fucking pied us off.
But yes.
But before we get started into the movie that is Death Becomes Her, I do have the taglines.
Cool.
And they're tremendous. I'll do the boring ones first. From the director of Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Back to the Future.
Right, okay.
This one, didn't know whether or not to say it, but I'm going to. Your basic black comedy.
That's what it is. It is a black comedy, yep.
Now, the next two are the two interesting ones. Some people will go to any lengths to stay young forever, but Madeline Ashton and her old friend Helen Sharp are about to go too far.
That's the one I remember.
Her old friend. That's a bit... It's a bit rich. And the last one is one small bottle, the fountain of youth, the secret of eternal life, the power of an ancient potion. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun.
I remember the trailers for this movie when it first came out, because it was like the voiceover guy who was like,
In a world
where Madeline Ashton
and nothing from the trailer gets seen in the movie.
They deleted loads of scenes though, didn't they?
Yeah.
I sent Phoebe the I sent Phoebe and Paul the trailer, because generally Lee completely forgot you were on tonight. I'm so sorry.
I don't even know if I should be on tonight. I'm in so much pain.
What's wrong, my
stomach is killing us.
What's happened?
I don't know what's going on. I've got something wrong with this.
Whoa!
Really,
what's happening?
What happened there?
Someone shot us.
As Beck, we've just seen Lee's hole, guys. Lee's just got his hole out.
How long's it taken us to do that?
I'm blushing.
Oh, I hope you feel better soon, Lee. We'll have to find Bruce Willis and get to do a bit of like cosmetic makeup to try and fix that. Even though,
can I ask the question? How? How did Bruce Willis fill that hole? How?
With
embalming
fluid.
How did
and
Bruce
spackle.
Willis fill that hole?
Yeah. I can't even get around that because embalming fluid just gives you a bit of colour.
Yeah.
Like he must have packed up a cotton wool or something.
Sawdust is what
polyfiller.
It's sawdust is what actually gets used.
Yeah.
Is it?
No,
Yeah.
They fill you out with sawdust because it's like pliable and they can move it around and it soaks up moisture as well. So, but yes,
lovely.
Now
things you wish you hadn't Googled.
Oh, the search engines
along
hook by
with
now.
Goldie's hole.
Oh, Phoebe's been waiting for that one as well. Bless her.
I know. I have.
I mean, actually, if we're gonna like get the bad stuff out the way. One of the trivia things does say that when Goldie Hawn falls into the pond, you can see a brown eye afterwards.
What?
But after rewinding it, I found out that it's actually a contact lens.
Right. Yeah, it moves. Oh. Yeah, it moves. Yeah. The contact,
Wow, okay. I didn't know where you were going with that at all.
I was really confused.
Yeah, I kind of stopped for a second and went, I do have quite a bit on the visual effects, so tell me when we get to that part.
Yeah, so I was going
to
say,
we only
the only time Goldie Hawn got naked was in Wildcats, I believe. But yeah, that's just my Goldie Hawn knowledge there. Everyone's going to write that film down.
Why did you remember that, Paul?
I love Goldie Hawn. I absolutely adore her. Like Private Benjamin, Overboard, just this woman.
Overboard.
Did,
oh, I love Overboard.
Yeah. Nothing
I haven't
wrong.
Seen that film. Like I haven't seen a naked. I don't want to. I respect Kurt Russell too much. He's my boy. I don't want to look at his wife that way.
I get that. Well, there's what's her husband called again? You've just said
Kurt Russell.
Mine went completely blank. There is Kurt Russell is technically in this film.
All right.
Technically, yes. When they're in the hospital, there is an interview being on the television, and it's Kurt Russell.
All right.
There's
lots of interesting cameos as well, like shall we say, but we'll come to that when we talk about the movie a little bit. Yeah. I want to get into when this movie was released, because this came out in 1992. I can remember this. Sammy might be able to. I don't know if Phoebes and Lee can because they're the youngsters.
I don't know where Phoebe and Phoebe lies in the age range. I'm not too sure.
I'm 700.
Which is a Highlander.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
Did you take the vial?
I think I was probably Sesame Streeting.
Right. So you were.
I was in my.
As long as you were
era.
Alive, that's okay.
I was alive.
The marketing for this movie did not portray. What the movie was. It was very different. They portrayed this as a wacky, funny comedy, like laugh-out-loud comedy. When I was talking to Nick about it last night, I do think this movie was very ahead of its time for humour, for like the effects side, and like just the storytelling as well, because the plot-wise is all over the place. There's not really much of a story going ahead. And the jokes and everything, like how dark this goes, and I'm not sure it would have landed well in the 90s because they try to do it as like a bit of a comedy. So I remember when it came out the pictures, everyone was going how amazing the effects were, but no one was talking how good the film was, and it kind of flopped a little bit on the initial release.
It did all right in the box office. It made its money back, but it did. This movie is revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
If you, and this, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. If you don't have this movie and all the tricks and the little things that they did, and you don't have Jurassic Park.
No.
You literally don't have Jurassic Park because everything they used here was a tester for the CGI and all the special effects work that we're going to do for Jurassic Park. So this movie is revolutionary. Mm-hmm. The plot is crazy because Zemeckis took it to a test audience and they fucking hated it, but he'd already done the trailer for it. So everything that was mentioned like from the trailer is just completely stripped out. And this is why it's a bit disjointed and you have the ending that you have, because the test audience really kind of like handed him his ass and he just went, shit, and had to just completely mush it together again. But this film has been in my memory bank for as long as I can remember. I can't remember when I first watched it.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I can't remember life before it.
I remember
It's
watching
just
it on
always been there.
VHS because it was one of those video films where, like, I used to love movie trailers. I still do, but I think trailers back in the 80s and 90s were better because it didn't give the whole plot. It just gave certain aspects. And it was the time where you got movie trailers at the pictures and on your VHSs as well. So you remember when you used to get a VHS, you used to get trailers on before the movie started. And I think this was one of the ones that was advertised. And I was like, all right, I need to see this movie. It looks hilarious. It wasn't funny. Especially as a kid when you're watching it, it's not funny.
No.
I'm interested to know, like, Faves, when you first saw this movie, what was your kind of reaction to it?
Yeah, I probably saw it in my early teens. It was probably one of the ones my dad fed me as part of my... We used to do Friday night film nights.
Oh, right.
And I think this probably was one that came up because he loves Meryl Streep.
Mm.
And I think also adores Goldie Hawn and has less respect than Lee does for Kurt Russell when talking about her. really loves Goldie Hawn. So I think I watched it as part of that. And I think, it's also revolutionary in terms of special effects because it also is one of the first films to kind of do all those flashy new technology stuff that isn't a sci-fi and it isn't an action film.
Yeah.
And it's actually just a kind of it's almost a kind of farce, oops, Vicar, where's your knickers kind of kind of vibe. And no one had done special effects in films like that before.
No.
So I could, and obviously I knew Bruce Willis later, action star Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And 12 Monkeys Bruce Willis.
Mm.
So seeing him do comedy early in his career, I was like, oh, this guy actually has range.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I grew up with My Mother Loving Moonstruck.
Mm.
So I knew Bruce Willis as a... So this wasn't a shock for me, but I couldn't... I can't talk.
That's okay.
My brain's gone to absolute mush.
Well,
you don't know
I sometimes
is
feel
with,
like that with Bruce Willis too.
With Cybill Shepherd.
Is that not Moonlight?
Moonlight.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, Moonstruck is bloody...
I don't know if it was...
No, it's me. Because Moonstruck is Cher, which is my mum's favourite film. Moonlight
just forget
was our
about
favourite
it.
TV show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
honestly, where's my brain gone?
Well, to be fair, you've got a lot on, bless you. Lee, you're recently converted to Death Becomes Her, haven't you? You've only seen it probably in the last week.
I think it was 2 weeks ago I watched it, but I knew of it from being about 7-year-old because I had a childminder in primary school and I used to go, it was just directly over the road from us, so I'd go there every day when I finished, and the daughter of the childminder was in my year at school. And she watched this film when we were about 7 and she wouldn't shut up about it for about 2 weeks. And it was just one bit that she was impressed at. She would be like, oh, and then she stands up at the pillow and goes, "You bitch." And she kept thinking it was amazing that she called her a bitch. And it was oh my God, she says a swear word. And meanwhile, I'm I've seen most of Arnie's back catalogue at this point. That's nout.
She clearly did.
Go watch
horror.
Running Man, then come back.
Getting angry at a 7-year-old.
So after watching it last week, how did you find the movie, then, Lee?
It's a movie that exists and... Yes.
Oh, damned with faint praise.
No, it's interesting because me and Lee have similar tastes, but when it comes to certain movies, if he hasn't watched them, probably the nostalgia factor doesn't wear with Lee. He hated The Crow. This is where Lee comes from. It's hilarious. He just calls it what was it?
A Goth's Wet Dream.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me, Emo Lee over there?
But no, Death Becomes Her. It's got a good story to it.
Yeah.
And it's unique as well. Nothing like that had been done before, but it just lacked any, what's the word? Soul.
Right. All right. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I said that the war was over before we started filming, Lee, and now I've changed my mind.
How dare you?
It's an interesting perspective. That's why I wanted, I thought it would be a good idea to have Lee on as well, especially when he said he hadn't seen it. I was like, all right, it's because this movie is quite an interesting one, and it's very much, I remember the good memories of watching it and experiencing not quite understanding it, then watching it again and saying, oh, there's certain bits I get.
Yeah.
So kind of like what Lee watching it now, it's like he'll not get that aspect. He's just like watching it. Because at the time, this was the first time, as Phoebe said, the married CGI with practical effects in a way that, again, there's been films and movies that's been done it used it since, but to use it, this was kind of like the first. And they did it the best as well, though, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Because fair enough, there's certain aspects that CGI is a little bit dated, but the bits where you get Meryl Streep changing like from like the aging Madeline Ashton going back to her as a girl.
I know how they did that.
Is again, it's just a joy to watch and seeing her light up as well, because like she was faded and like being downtrodden and just sad, and then seeing the life come back into her and the way they did it with the effects was just mesmerizing.
She was 42 when they did this movie.
She hated doing it as well.
Yeah,
what I found out, because she hated the green screen work.
They both didn't have great things to say about the workings around and what they had to do, but they don't. It's the one film Meryl didn't get an Oscar nomination for, which is a travesty. But I do know how they did the de-aging thing. Obviously, is just makeup and very, very good makeup. Mm-hmm. But the boobs,
right,
was inflatables that she had in the back of her top that they literally hoisted up.
Lee, can you give us a demonstration?
Yeah. Right. They used for the first time ever human skin software.
Right.
So this is the first time that they ever used that technique. It was a pulmonary bra that was built to create the effect where Meryl Streep's breasts become higher and firmer after drinking the potion, but the effect didn't look realistic enough. So in order to get the shot, Streep's dresser stood behind her out of sight of the camera and pushed her breasts into position. So they literally just hoisted her in the back.
Bless her.
But sometimes on a night out, a girl needs allies.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living? I am Meryl Streep's boob hoister.
The guys behind the CGI and everything is Industrial Light and Magic, who have obviously gone on to done amazing, amazing work. And I have some little facts on the head twist.
Right, okay. Well, we'll get into we'll talk about the practical effects now, probably.
Just
so.
Give us... Yeah. Now, can I do it now?
Go for it now, because I can tell you're itching. I can see you're sitting there with your hands going like this. And it's good.
I just want to get it on my head, man. You know what I'm like? When I get something in there, all I want to do is get it out. We did what the Crow episode.
Just get it out, Sammy. Get it out for all the viewers. Just unleash it.
We did the Crow episode about a year ago, and I learned a new fact a couple of weeks ago and had to tell these all about it because it was just sitting in my brain. But yeah, where am I? So it is the head twist is what I'm doing first. Where's my head twist bit at? It is a combination of resets and necklace. Oh no, that's a shovel smash. It's a recombination of mirrors.
Yeah.
Her.
Mm-hmm.
A green screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they shot it three times in each sequence. Mm-hmm. So the mirrors were around her.
Yeah.
The green screen was over her,
mm-hmm.
and then she just does it as normal.
Well, and Lee could have done it with just his magic blanket that he was showing
us
earlier.
Yeah.
Can you make your head spin around, Lee? There, Lee's head spin
around. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. That is also one of the things that they did is when they're twisting her head, they had her on a chair.
Yeah.
And basically what Lee's just done...
And kind of did that.
How it worked.
Round her backwards at her. When she's resetting her head, you know, when she gets hit with a shovel and she's pulling, which I think is absolutely hilarious, especially when Helen's trying to have a proper conversation with her and all she keeps doing is pulling her head up.
Yeah.
And straighten it. That's a combination of chroma key, animatronic model.
Mm-hmm.
They used animatronics a lot in this.
Yeah.
And some sequences that were taken out, but an animatronic model created by whoever, a prosthetic makeup effect, and to obviously give the twisted head look. But it's more animatronics than it is anything else.
Really interesting.
Crazy that this was
for some of them.
It's crazy that this was like groundbreaking stuff in, when was it, 1991?
92, yeah. So.
92.
And they'll be like, oh, nobody else is doing this. But meanwhile, in 2025, we've got some possibly mentally disabled kid on an air podcast doing it with a blanket in his, in his spare
room. I didn't know where you were going to go with that, Lee. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I really hope he's talking about himself.
Oh, my gosh. I got worried. I got really out there for a second. I was like, Lee's going to take our podcast down. It's taken 4 years and it was Lee.
It was all Lee.
I have an additional fact, Sammy, to add to your head-twisting fact, which is that Doug Chiang, who was the special effects concept artist, head special effects concept artist for the film, this is one of the first films that used digital mock-ups. So he used photograph and early Photoshop to create the kind of proofs that he wanted for the special effects, because he felt that he wasn't getting it quite right with pen and ink and traditional media.
Yeah.
So it's like on every level, this film is kind of pushing
the boundaries,
the technology. Yeah.
No, and I think this was one of the first movies when it did actually come out in DVDs, where I was fascinated with the behind the scenes stuff, the making of stuff, because when they did the press junkets and the circuit, that's all they talked about was the practical effects, like the things that they showed on, like the how they did the Goldie Hawn sitting on the chair with the shovel thing coming through there, and the way they showed how that
it's
was filmed and
to the side of her, isn't it?
Yeah,
I still don't get it.
It's to the side of her.
Yeah, it is.
And then they blend it.
They kind of graft it in, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Well done.
It's so brilliant, especially for the time as well. The animatronic head that they used for her neck thing, they also used animatronic puppets for her head for the resurrection scene, but test audiences were really freaked out by it.
Yeah,
bit uncanny valley.
Yeah, it was terrible. So they were like, they ended up using CGI in the end. And I was trying to figure out what resurrection scene were they referring to.
Because when she fell down the stairs, so then
that one, right?
Oh,
okay, because
I
kept thinking of is the one where she's in the body bag, and I was like, I was like, kind of looking really like going. Well, she just looks a bit white.
Yeah. So she's in a body bag. She could have just got in a body bag.
Yeah. So me and Nick had a little bit of an argument about this last night. So see if you've like got the same thing, because when they decided that the body was starting to go grey or fall apart and stuff, they needed stuff to be put together. Was their body then decomposing from the accidents or the deaths that they had, or was their body dying from the moment that they took the drink from the bottle? Because my impression was, as soon as they took the drink, they were dead. They were zombies, basically living zombies. And Isabella Rossellini's character says to them, you've got to maintain and upkeep your body to a high degree. So that was my impression. But then it was like everything started to decompose, like everything like from them kind of like Helen being shot in the stomach, Madeline being pushed down the stairs, like their eyes changed. They went from the colours of the world, they went from white. The skin started to go grey. With the Goldie Hawn's character, there was blood that came out, but then there was no blood anywhere else. I don't think they could have done too much blood. This would have been a hard 18 if they went for any further blood, I think. But what were your guys' takes on that? Because I thought they were like decomposing or had a look after it from taking the drink. Or was it just working normally and then they died and then had... Because they couldn't die properly, if that makes sense? Yeah.
I think that they die from the accidents, and Isabella Rossellini's warning is, if you don't look after your body, you're going to end up jacked up, because if you die, you can't actually die.
Right.
So I look at it along the lines of a kind of like vampires who can't regenerate kind of law.
Yeah.
Is where my head is with this.
I agree.
We have proof. Well, there's all the celebrities like Elvis
and
the body. He isn't decomposing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people, I've actually got a list of the people who was at the party.
Elvis has been there for 20 years. Like, when did he die? Like 78 or something like that.
Andy Warhol was there. Marilyn Monroe greeted Chabo, because obviously she does the line of "I want to be alone."
Yeah.
Elvis, Jim Morrison, and James Dean, which I think is Franco.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it can't be.
No, it wasn't Franco.
No, it wasn't because Franco did. He played him in another film, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. No. Well, at least I got that part right. Yeah. I agree with Phoebe. Mm-hmm. I think they are very much alive mm-hmm. until they are not, yeah. but they just cannot die.
Yeah. All right. So Nick won that argument.
I like that theory though.
Yeah.
I do like the theory of it. Mm-hmm. I was going to say something. I don't know why my brain has just decided not to work tonight. On all episodes, it's just absolutely flummoxed itself. Oh, yes, that was it. The additional character
mm-hmm.
who was meant to be in this film. But
the barmaid.
Tracy Ullman.
Yeah.
Who Tracy got completely and utterly axed. She's in the trailer.
Yeah, we saw the trailer, yes.
You saw her in standing, talking with Helen and... Madeline at one point. She also is the one, you know, do you see where Bruce Willis pulls her out of the fridge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Tracy who finds her.
Right, okay.
Because he shoves her in the fridge when they come back from the morgue. And it's Tracy who finds her. Yeah, bless Tracy Ullman. Audiences did not react very well to her and she got axed completely.
Interesting. I don't think it needed more characters. I liked the simplicity of the characters that we had and how, like kind of that played between it. I know me and Phoebe nearly got into an argument before we went live because she was talking about the two strong female leads, which I agree with. But mm-hmm. I don't think they're the... And this is going to sound really hard because I love Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep is a force to be reckoned with. But Bruce Willis steals the show. I'm sorry. Bruce Willis is absolutely unbelievable in this movie, like for everything he does, how he acts, how he reactions.
I'm gonna fight you.
Yeah, I watched it last night. I was like, I didn't see this as a Bruce Willis movie. I always saw it as a Mel Streep or Goldie Hawn movie. Watching it again last night, I was like, he has been totally underrated in this movie. From I don't know if it's like just my perspective or other people's perspective, but he is brilliant. That's the only way I could describe it. I was so surprised after watching it again, like how funny Bruce Willis was, how his reactions
he's
were.
Very funny.
He's hilarious in it. He wasn't the studio's first choice. I never found any alternative castings for these two. Mm. So I am guessing these are the two that they had in mind. Oh. Mm. But I do have somewhere.
Kevin Kline
was one of them.
Jeff Bridges
was the other.
I can't remember who the other one was.
I don't think Jeff Bridges would have been as funny. It would have been very laid back, I think.
I think it would have been too laid back. I'd have just been thinking...
I don't know. If you see like The Fisher King, where he plays that very angry shock jockey,
yeah.
I think he could have done in his early days.
I think it's weird having like Bruce Willis as this kind of character.
Oh.
Even just the name, Ernest Melville.
That doesn't fit Bruce Willis.
So weak. He's like, because I had the opposite of impact of like watching it than you did, Paul, where I was like, this guy's getting everything he deserves and maybe like
more
gets away too lightly.
this is one of the reasons why I said it's got no soul, because nobody I didn't root for anybody in this movie.
Yeah.
Everybody is a dick.
Isabella Rossellini, that's about it.
Oh.
Like, let her live forever.
Can we just talk about how beautiful she looked in this movie?
She's stunning.
So good.
Got the last person who was meant to play Ernest, and right. I don't know how this would have went down. Nick Nolte.
Oh no. No.
They made the right choice.
If I think of like casting somebody as someone like Ernest Melville, who's just like a guy with glasses and a strange mustache and a name like Ernest Melville, I would have cast someone like Wayne Szalinski. Well, I can't remember what his name is now. No, I'm the Keymaster. I can't remember his name now.
Oh God, well, I don't know what's wrong with my brain because I can't think of it either. What was wrong with the job of mortician? What was wrong with that job?
And it completely recession-proof.
Uh-huh. Like, he's always going to have work.
Yeah.
But I think, apparently that's a disgrace and step down from his plastic surgery tears.
I know, but he was a world-renowned plastic surgeon, so it was kind of like he was top of the thing. He was a name for, like, because they actually say it as well. Madeline didn't pay for that house; he paid for that house with his work. So that's how.
All his.
Yeah. Rick Moranis was the name that he was trying to get there.
Yes. I don't know why Chris is saying Michael Cera.
No. Chris,
don't know.
As someone who could be alternative casting for the Bruce Willis character. Well,
that's one thing that's one thing I was going to talk about, because this is the movie that gets talked about every few years is going to get remade, and there's alternative castings that comes out every so on. I know the stage shows just came, and yes! Sammy's got a finger wavering already.
That was it. That was the stage. I didn't realize when they were talking about a whole because they had the Lady Gaga and Anne Hathaway. Oh, honestly, if she was, I'd have put my head through the screen. I really would have. I'd have spat blood. But I didn't realize that the whole big thing that they were referring to was the musical.
Yeah.
So I'm happy. It's okay.
I think it's okay. And apparently the falling down the stairs scene is spectacular. I haven't seen it because they're keeping it under wraps. But when I've read the reviews for the stage show, apparently that whole sequence is just extraordinary.
Yeah, if that does ever come to London, that I will be traveling down to see it.
Absolutely,
If they ever remade this film, I want a side plot in it. Like, I'm not too bothered about this film itself, but I want a side plot in a remake where they cast Paul Rudd and have it so that he has drunk the potion and he's spent more than 10 years.
Yeah, and they're trying to hunt him down.
Yeah, and just have, like, just cutting away to, like, people trying to kidnap him, and he just always somehow accidentally avoids the kidnapping.
But yeah.
I like that idea.
I think that's great. But
I normally leave this at the end, but I'm going to bring it up now because we're discussing it. I do think if they were going to remake this movie, I don't think a movie would work as well as this one. I think a TV show would be quite interesting. Maybe not like a 12 episode or like a 6 episode. Like, you could go into the characters a bit more, like a mini series. Yeah.
Well, you say that, it was actually brought up in 2009 about doing a TV show based on this. Nobody wanted it. Nobody actually wanted it. The crazy fucking idiots.
I would.
Would you?
Yeah, right. Like I said, like, I don't feel like this film had enough soul. Like, why are Madeline and Helen?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Why are they friends?
They went to school together, yeah.
Went to school.
But, like, there's nothing to build up on that for, like, them to have, like, a connection. They just seem to be dicks to each other all the time. Mm-hmm. You would leave school and never speak to her ever again.
Yeah.
I think Americans are different with that kind of shit, though, aren't they? Like, they harbour grudges and say, this person spat in my face in high school, so I'm going to hate them for the rest of my life. Where if it was in the North, would someone spat in your face, you would smack them and then buy them a pint.
Yeah, and then that was it.
It would be good to see more
Friday night.
It would be good to see more into the I can't remember the woman's name who has the potion, but there was, like, plots that were supposed to be where she was originally going to be Cleopatra and stuff like that.
Wow, that'd have been awesome, and I can see where they were going with that.
It's got the Egyptian Ankh sign on the the case as well.
Yeah.
So there's that would have been things pretty cool. That. Into.
Yeah.
Oh no, that would have been pretty cool.
I also love in her pool it's Adam. It's the creation of Adam.
I just noticed the pointy thing. That's how I remember it, is because of that. He's a funny, interesting fact that links up Zemeckis perfectly with this movie. Helen drinks the potion on October 26, 1985.
Back to the Future.
Bing, ding, 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 ding. This is his third Oscar win for visual effects in a movie. Jurassic Park being one of them, and Forrest Gump being the next one.
Surprise, Roger Rabbit didn't get there. Like, Roger Rabbit's like...
It actually did. Just to take that back. It wasn't Jurassic Park, it was Roger Rabbit. You're absolutely right, it was. The third film was Forrest Gump, but the first one was Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and then this one, and then Forrest Gump.
Cool. Yeah, did you also get Polar Express? Was that him? No. Spielberg. Ooh.
This is Zemeckis.
I'm thinking of the costume designer. works on. Right. Death Becomes Her and yeah. Polar Express.
Can I just add in something from what Chris has said in the comments, where he's saying you could call it Murder, She Won't. So, looking at the like facts and all the stuff from this film, Bruce Willis put forward some titles for the film.
Right.
Oh, I want to hear those.
Oh, yes, I've got the key. This so bad. Go on.
It's Death, Baby. Yeah. and his other one, My Man Death.
It sounds like Ali G.
Have you ever seen Bruce Willis's, sorry, this is a complete segue, but his Vanity Project?
His live lounge. He done like music
and
stuff.
Yeah, where he plays like the jazz singer. I have the record, like the little LP from it, because the image of it makes me laugh so much. And I think it's called, I can't remember what the name of the film is, but the title's called Respect Yourself, and it's just him there. And I feel like he should never be allowed to name things.
Bless him.
Never.
Bruce Willis made some choices. I know, like I say, it's sad what's happened to him now. He made loads of, like, he went through a spade in Hollywood where he was just making this loads of different movies, and people were going, why is he making these movies? They're terrible. But he was just basically building the fund to get his, like, everything there for his medical care for what he's going through now.
What's happening right now.
But, like, in the 80s and the 90s, like, in the 80s, he was more of a gamble because, with Die Hard, they didn't want him because he was just known as the funny guy from, as I said, with Meryl Streep. And then he became one of the ultimate action movie stars of the 80s. And he made some really good choices when it comes to movies, like especially in the 90s, like 12 Monkeys. And even like a weird, like there was a weird kids film I liked called North. That was basically, he played loads of different characters trying to help this kid. But again, no one's ever seen it except for me. It's definitely there. It's definitely like Teaching Miss Tingle. That is a real movie.
Oh, that is not a real movie.
Sorry,
that is not real.
Like,
it's fake, Phoebe.
It's got
Helen Mirren in. It's got.
I swear to God, if he puts this in for like April's lineup, I will cry. But yeah, it's fake.
We will do it one time.
But did anyone notice Mary Ellen Trainer in this movie, Zemeckis' ex-wife?
No.
Yes, she was the one that asked him about how did they make the body look so lifelike. I don't understand why she got so offended. And he's like, it's spray paint. He's like, it's just spray paint. It's like
she's dead. It doesn't matter what difference does it make.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't want to know, don't ask the question.
Exactly. Well, that's that is Zemeckis' ex-wife. Obviously, you'll all know her from The Man from the Goonies. But yeah, this is a third.
I know.
When I can turn around and say what, then you've got a problem.
I've never seen it. Because I've not seen nothing.
Actually, that's a lie. The last 4 years, I've managed to build me up. Yeah.
So you know, we were talking a few weeks ago about contracts and stuff, Phoebe, about people who come on the podcast. Like, part of the agreement is you have to watch The Goonies. Yeah.
I'll see you later, guys.
it's been nice knowing you, Phoebe.
Yeah. I'll exit the Discord too.
I think you might have a right on your hand if you did. Yeah. Kelly might like actually
there you go,
burn the
Phoebe's gone. Bye.
I have actually just received 3 messages in Discord, and I don't know if it's just that.
Sorry, they'll bring her back.
Put her back.
It's fine. I'll just repair her with this. It's okay. I'll put this over.
When that showed up on my TikTok, I was like, Yeah, finger guns.
I felt so bad because Chris sent us a joke. So I was taking the piss. I was like, "You need a closing, for the anime." It just went black screen. I was like, "You need a closing." He went, "Is this funny? Is this good enough? Funny? Ha ha ha!" All right, then saved. It was up on Instagram.
Why would he send it to you?
He's fucking stupid.
Lee
sends us stuff and it's like, "Oh, ha, ha, this is funny." I was like, "Yep, gonna use that in the podcast."
Yeah, that's going on. Yeah, the Ninja Turtle one's still my favorite.
Yeah,
it's still my favorite one. Even though it's like just a few seconds, it's still my favorite. I was gonna point out another interesting fact because I really at this point just want to close my laptop because I'm sick of looking at it. But now I've gone and lost it. Absolutely great. I really need to sort these out in some form of actual order. So this was going to actually be a sequel to Tales from the Crypt.
All right.
So Zemeckis had already did. When the test audiences saw it, they thought it was an episode or a continuation of Tales from the Crypt.
Right, okay, I can
And
understand that one.
he was like, ooh, I like that, but it just didn't, it didn't materialize from anything, because he did like a Christmas, a Halloween special, Zemeckis. But yeah, this was going to be like a continuation, but they kind of like moved away from the idea and just had it as its own separate entity.
Well, this was very much had a lot of horror movie vibes, like especially not to say it's based on any like horror movie, but it felt like a Universal type horror, especially with the looks, the layouts. When you go into like say the mansion with Isabella Rossellini, like everything just felt like it was a lavish Hollywood, but like you were expecting a monster to come out. You didn't know that the monsters were actually going to be like say Madeline and Helen, like as part. Well, you kind of got it with Helen when you got like say Goldie Hawn going full cray cray and going in the mental
Love
home
it.
and when she just keep watching the videotape of Madeline being strangled. Like I
Oh,
imagine that's gonna be
so
like Lee
funny.
in a few years' time
Yeah.
watching Phoebe going just smiling saying strangle
I got some
it.
really sensory overload through that scene right there with the cats and the screaming and the banging. Why did she get arrested when she was just getting evicted?
I don't know, but the smell came through the telly. That was that thing. I could probably,
Make
I
your
just,
eyes water.
yeah.
Oh,
But
it
Paul,
was.
you, oh, I was
No,
gonna
go on.
just like want to say something that Paul mentioned about the mansion, right? That mansion is quite famous. It's the Greystone Mansion, which it's not the front that you usually see in other things, but it's like the courtyard, some of the interior, and
All
like the
right.
back, which is it's X-Men. It's Xavier's Mansion, Oliver Queen, Batman and Robin,
Right.
Ghostbusters 2, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, plus hundreds more. It's a really famous mansion, apparently.
They
Oh, cool.
also made it in miniature for the film, and I love something that's tiny.
That
Yeah, they could do all of like the lighting, and like each individual room in the miniature had a light, so they could switch them on and off for
Right.
the approaching in the storm scenes.
Ah, interesting. So kind of like Back to the Future style when like the models and stuff like that. And even I don't know if well Zemeckis didn't have anything I was gonna say with Beetlejuice. I don't know why I was gonna bring Beetlejuice into it, but it was models,
Similar
I guess. Yeah,
vibes.
it did have a like so, but this is why I love the 90s for this type of movies, because this is when like we got an influx of where like the alt kids or the weird kids kind of got access to making movies and the kind of done stories. Like I felt like the 80s was a lot of like risks when it comes to movies, where the 90s was just going like a bit the dark side. People weren't like really bothered about light and fluffy and stuff like that, where they were kind of making things that weren't kind of on the beat same beaten track. Like nothing was all get ultraviolet or ultra colorful. Like when you look at this movie and you see the advertising campaign, as I mentioned before, this was advertised as kind of like a straight up daft comedy, but even the tones in this movie, like the colors they use, are very sparingly, but they're used in very, like, say, great effect. Like, as Phoebe's demonstrating, like Goldie Hawn's red dress is amazing; it stands out. Isabella Rossellini's, like, say, the outfit
Hardly
she
any
wears is
clothes.
like yes, and it's just thing.
It's not her body though.
Is it not? So it's
No.
body double,
Yeah, she didn't want to.
right?
She wanted to do it. She was absolutely fine with doing it. It was Zemeckis' idea. He wanted to use a body double, so it's not
It's
Isabella
Catherine
Rossellini.
Bell.
Yeah, Catherine Bell did
I don't know.
that.
I recognize the name, but I don't know where from.
I can't picture her face, but I can picture her body.
Hey.
Can we
And
just
what?
have a moment though for Joanna Johnston, who's the costume designer?
Oh my God.
Because
The choices she made with this and the palette as well that she used.
And there are touches of the 80s with some of the power dressing, but I think also like very 50s and 60s kind of sensual chiffons and oh, so
Oh, it was be
so
they
good.
used, apart from what we're looking at right now, Helen only wears white once, but the rest of the time her palette is red and black, and Madeline's is black and red, or am I
She wears
black
a
and black?
purple
She has that purple.
jumpsuit type thing.
Yeah. Because they both have like their own individual palette that they use the same all the way through, but Helen only wears the white once, and that's when she thinks Madeline's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the part of the aesthetic of this. Now, I was saying at the beginning, when I first put this on last night and you saw the skyscrapers, I couldn't picture a place where this was in time until I read the Wikipedia plot line, and it told me that it's 1978,
Right.
but the costumes in it and the way Ernest dresses as well,
Yeah, I thought it
you
was
can't place him in
earlier.
time.
Yeah, I
It's
thought it
that
was a
they're
very earlier.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's very classic. It's almost like classic old Hollywood kind of styling. And I think partly because Joanna Johnston went on to do, so she did like Who Framed Roger Rabbit as an assistant. That's where she started. But then went on to do Indiana Jones, two Indiana Jones films, Colour of Purple, Hellraiser, Back to the Future 2 and 3, Contact, Forrest Gump, Polar Express,
How do you go from like
The Sixth Sense
Hellraiser
and Unbreakable. Like she's got
to
like such a huge, but a lot of those films do have that kind of timeless
look and feel.
energy to them.
Oh, I heard. Well, like you got Hellraiser with all the latex, and then you've got
Like BDSM fantasy type thing.
and then they do
Forrest Gump.
Castaway,
Yeah.
which I feel
Oh,
like
least
isn't much
favorite.
costume anyway, isn't it?
It's just
Well, from what
what?
I remember, it's just Tom Hanks with some shorts on and some trainers,
Yeah,
right?
basically.
Oh, he
I'd
definitely
like
was
you to
pretty
do.
easy. He definitely fucked Wilson, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh no, let's
There
not
was a
go
look
down
in Wilson's eye.
He didn't see the hole in the back of his head that much.
Oh, Lee, I knew we would start looking for him. Have you got
I
him?
don't know where Good Wilson is. I think he's in my loft.
I have something that I wrote down that I wanted to read word for word to make sure I got the point across and ask, your opinion on it. Because there's a scene in the movie that would have been explained perfectly if it had not been deleted from the movie, is
Right.
the nuns.
Right. Yeah. Where they're just floating.
Yeah. So despite the unseen deleted scene where it explained why the nuns were in the hospital morgue, which was to identify the body of a priest, some fans have theorized that the crying floating nuns shown in the film symbolize that Madeline has damned herself to fate worse than death after drinking Lysel's potion and then getting herself killed due to her carelessness and cruelty. Despite being legally dead, Madeline's soul is forever trapped inside of her decaying body and she'll never be able to properly pass on. It was even speculated that the nuns were possibly heard Madeline's screams in the morgue and were so shaken that they promptly left and cried. Furthermore, when Ernest finds Madeline in one of the body compartments, she tearfully tells him that she was screaming and no one came to help her, and nobody came. This shows that there is no hope for her, and for that matter, Helen since their souls are particularly trapped in decrepit shells forever. That last line did not make any sense. This shows that there is no hope for her, and for that matter, Helen should have been a comma, since their souls are particularly trapped in decrepit shells forever. When I initially saw the nuns, I just went, what the fuck?
I just think it was just like trying to give the horror film vibes. That was the thing.
Yeah, I was like, is this something that you normally see in a hospital? Just floating nuns going around? I don't particularly spend a lot of time in hospitals,
It's probably
so
saying this person hasn't got health insurance, so they're going to die. Get the nuns.
you get the nuns, yeah. I just thought that was so interesting because, again, it was a question mark on the movie for me as to why these nuns were actually here. And the fact that fans have gone into such deep thought
I think,
about it.
yeah. But don't American hospitals and stuff have like a church element
Yeah, we
to
have one
it?
as well.
Like,
We've got them here too,
yeah,
mate.
we have them here. There's one in Sunderland.
I don't tend to go to the hospitals often.
Turns out
I
sometimes
hide.
God comes to England.
Yeah, occasionally. When you go into the if you're going into the main hospital, not A&E, the other side, it's the chapels on the right-hand side.
All
They're
right.
usually non-denominational now though as well,
Yeah, there's
yeah, to be
nothing.
fair.
It's just a place for you to do whatever
Have
praying
a
it is or
cry.
who or whoever you are praying to in. There's
Yeah.
not really any religious symbols in there. Not now anyway.
There was a few bits in this movie that, like, watching it back now, you can tell it's very much of its time. I start pissing myself laughing. Like, the bodyguards, can we just talk about as well? Fabio and his
Fabio.
friends.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Like, if you're going to be an immortal being, why would you have them dressed like
Look like something out of
that?
Manowar. Like, This is the choice I'm going to make for eternity. Yeah. Manowar.
If I looked like that, if I had that body like Fabio, I would dress like that all the time.
What do you mean?
That's how I'll be on this podcast.
You have got that body? Why don't you show it off now?
Not anymore.
Can you stick your hand through it, Lee?
I have got a thing to point out about this, right? So, if when she's got that hole, she has no spine or anything at holding her up.
Yeah.
So how is she not just like a wacky waveable inflatable arm flailing tube man?
That was a conscious choice by Chiang, the special effects designer, because he didn't want it to tip over into something too gory. Mm. He wanted to keep it in the comedy space. Mm-hmm. So he designed a lot of the special effects to be like cartoony. Mm-hmm. The same with like Meryl Streep's head twisting. See bones popping out or anything like that. You just see like the skin being stretched.
But mm-hmm. she does have it. She does. You can't see it, but it's what the doctor sees in the hospital.
Yeah.
Is the bone sticking out of her neck, because that's what sends him into a heart attack. Apparently, he's like a really famous comedian who just come out of retirement to do this role. I didn't catch his name, and I didn't recognize his face. Was it Sidney Pollack? Was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He come out of retirement for it, didn't he? Just like help out. It was just.
I just
saw the name and
I thought that gag was brilliant though. Like all the jokes and all the things, like the humor in it, like watching it now, it's like
the
when
hand
the doc
bending
when,
back.
Yeah. and the doctor's like kind of freaking out. He's like going on the stethoscope checking if it's right, and then him just going, it's shock. Then he goes out, then you see thing. It was just like the timing and everything was just I thought that was one of the best things in there as well.
Yeah, I like that, and especially when he just like has to leave because he ends up having a heart attack. And I hate Bruce Willis's dialogue after this. It's probably the only one that makes me cringe a little bit, mm-hmm. where he says, "You're unnatural," basically.
Right.
And it just the way that he says it, and he repeats himself, and I'm like, "Oh, stop!
You sound unnatural, Bruce Willis." Yeah. Have a word with your writers.
Some of his dialogue I didn't quite like, but that's just personal taste.
I love a kind of like the two part ending we get as well. The bit where they go full Hammer horror, when he's climbing across the rooftop to try and escape like from these monsters that he's basically been a part
stupid
of creating
idea.
As well. Yeah.
Why didn't he just get the fire hose and jump over the side and swing down through one of the windows?
Like I did in a previous film.
Because maybe he wanted to, like, he wasn't an action star at this point, was he? So
he did Die Hard. But yeah, this is after Die Hard. Yeah.
Well, maybe you want to say, I don't want to do Die Hard anymore. I want to be the pathetic Ernest who's going to like climb all over the place.
Ernest Melville.
Or do you think he like with Bruce Willis with all his ideas? He's like, I've got an idea. Why don't I use the fire hose to jump to? And they'll stop and go,
you know what?
Bruce, we've used this idea in a movie before. Yeah. We've got to do something different.
Maybe
we're also running out of money. We've spent it all on Goldie's Hole. So
the thing is, at least people didn't Van Damme the movie and like try and take over completely. So we've got to be grateful for that.
Then I was going to say about the ending we got with them in the church, where they kind of like keep on like think, oh, he found the secret to eternal youth, and they kind of stop. But then you get to them at the top of the stairs, and when they pull the veils up, and you see the kind of hardened and like how they've been caking the paint on, and has turned into almost like just
it's very
like
typical
plastic.
Hollywood, though.
Yeah,
it's very mm-hmm. given of the time, and like plastic surgery was like really coming up, and a lot of women were changing their appearances and hiding their age, and it is a you know, a story as old as time when it comes to women and, you mm-hmm. know, vanity. But I do have the original ending of how it was meant to end. And it actually fits in line with not the way that it ended. It's the picture that they use at the end. So the original ending involves Tony, who was Tracy Ullman. And she helped Ernest fake his own death to get away from Madeline and Helen. The two end up running away to Europe to start a new life together. Many years later, Madeline and Helen were cracked, peeling, and putting covering to cover their grow up and their rotten flesh, and they're on in vacation in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Bored and miserable, they notice an affectionate elderly couple and they become envious. As the couple gets into a car and drives away, Madeline and Helen realize it's Ernest and Tony and chase after them, only to be hit by the car, by an oncoming car, and break into pieces, which is similar to how they end up, their fate ends up in then that one. The picture that they used is the picture from when they see him in Switzerland.
Right, okay.
You know how he's got the hat on and everything. Yeah. But obviously, because Tony gets completely wiped out of this film, they name his wife Claire, and you just get his backstory of, you know, for 50 years he kind of was this saint of a person.
I don't think that actually ever had a full ending planned, and they were just trying to wing it, basically. No, seriously, I'm not just taking the piss. Apparently, there was also meant to be a thing where he fell down into the pool and then saw the vial floating, and he picks it up and runs out with that. So when he gets out of the pool and runs away, they're still in the film. Apparently, he's holding it as he runs out the door past James Morrison.
All right, interesting. So he's kind of...
I haven't gone back to check that.
Yeah.
But apparently he's still got the vial in his hand.
Yeah. One of the deleted scenes is where Madeline is in the fridge.
Right.
And it's Rose, her housekeeper, goes to go and see her. And she just goes, close the door. And Rose just freaks out.
Yeah, Rose just disappears in this movie after the initial see her as well.
Even though she was like a mother figure to her.
Yeah.
Oh, madam, you look so wonderful today.
You look even younger today than you did yesterday.
I need say the line.
So
say it.
So the question I want to ask you is now. If you've had the choice, because as you said, as Sammy so well put, this is a movie about vanity and how everyone does fear about growing older, like things changing. Would you, if you had the choice, would you take the vial?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sammy, yes, yeah, straight in. I fuck no.
100%. 100%. Right. No, actually, I don't know. It's the whole... It's not so much about the being young part. I don't think I've aged that badly for 42, but it's that I don't particularly want to be here forever. There comes a time where you're like,
do you want to see what's happening in the world now, but in 40 years?
Yeah, no,
I don't even want to go to work tomorrow.
That's it. Do I living forever at 42? Do I have to continuously keep working at the place I'm at? Like, no.
And here's my follow-up question to that. Because if you do take the vial, you have to eventually fake your own death so that you don't...
Oh, how would you do it?
How are you going to fake your own death? And also, why did Elvis, because in this world, he is obviously did that, chose to do that on the toilet? Like, that was how he chose to die?
Well, maybe because it was so unbelievable. Like, it's like... Would people
if it's
actually,
really
it's like,
embarrassing, it, clearly it can't be fake.
Exactly, that's it. Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely.
To be fair, right, if me and Chris took a vial and we were alive forever and Chris was like, I need to fake me death, and Ollie pretended to find the body and then make up some elaborate story but make it nice, I'd tell the papers like, oh, he died on the toilet, he shit himself to death.
I can see
just
you
to go after him afterwards and be like, look what I did to you, bitch.
You can't even come back and see anything because you're meant to be dead.
I can 100% see you and Chris faking your death like Charlie and Mac in
Oh my god, 100%
see that happening.
That is one of mine and Anne's favourite scenes of the entire entire thing is when they're in when Mac's in the car and he just drives and it's Charlie's scream afterwards.
And then just for the rest of the episode has a concussion and he's like wearing a wedding dress at one point because he just finds it so sad.
It's when he starts shooting the car, but he has to do it by sniffing the poppers as well.
See, I would be a complete...
Always get it back to Always Sunny.
I would be a complete arsehole as well because I would do the whole plan. If I was going to do it, I would think, right, I want to fake me death. I'm going to plant myself in a situation where it looks like I've been killed by someone that's pissed us off.
You would set someone up.
Yeah, I would totally set someone up.
That's dark.
I want to do this without the potion. I've already told Bex, I'm going to leave a video saying,
she did it. It was her.
I will smite my enemies down. Just if any of my enemies are watching,
that's dark as fuck.
I'm coming for you.
Don't piss Paul off, basically.
Paul, you didn't answer though. Would you drink the potion?
Oh yeah, sorry.
I don't know. I couldn't even live for the rest of this week. Never mind forever. So.
It's just the idea of if we're living in now, like right now, we've all drank it today, and that's it.
It depends which company you keep. Because if I had to do it by myself, no, because I would be. This is gonna get really morbid and sad. I'm probably gonna make Sammy cry. Imagine how many pets you lose in eternity. Like how many pets you say goodbye to.
I'll give them a little droplet. I'll have a little droplet for each of them. Here you go, kiddies. Yeah. You're going to stay with me forever. Literally be the crazy cat lady.
It depends who would take with us type thing. I wouldn't want to do it by myself. If I had a crew of people, but it would have to be people that I can tolerate. Because if it was someone that I've got to spend the rest of my life with, people generally do my head in quite a lot.
He's not joking.
And I do generally tell them if they're doing me head in as well. Because I think there was a time a while ago I was pissed off or something and Lee just kept on making jokes. I was like, Lee, just leave us the fuck alone. I'm going to fuck you up.
All I do when that happens is just I message Paul straight away and go, walk away. Walk away. So I can see where this is going. I've known you long enough now. Walk away.
I just don't have enough switch. It's one of them things I'm too honest for my own good. That's a problem.
Yes.
People always say that when they're being assholes. I'm just being straight up.
Just being honest.
Just being honest.
I am what I am.
I wrote down in my notes that question, would you drink the potion? Mm. I have got another question though.
Okay.
So put yourself in Bruce Willis's shoes in this movie. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to pick? Meryl Streep or Goldie Hawn?
Oh,
Goldie Hawn every time.
Or what's her face who got cut?
I'm sorry, I'm going with Meryl.
No.
I have to go with Meryl on this one.
Oh, no, she was horrible. Like, literally, she
brilliantly, though.
If I had to live with her, I would cut her up in pieces and feed her the fish.
Is it the character or the actress?
The character. No, I do like Meryl Streep, but I always get Meryl Streep and Glenn Close mixed up, though. That's the problem.
I can understand that. I mean,
striking faces.
Yeah.
I didn't like Meryl Streep's character in this, but before seeing this film, I'd only seen Meryl Streep in like films more recently, like 2000s onwards or like.
Mm-hmm.
Late 2010s things like that.
You're trying to say you've watched Mamma Mia.
Well, yeah. Now after seeing that, I've seen Death Becomes Her. I understand why those three men in Mamma Mia were like hooking up with her back in the day. Yeah. I saw that opening scene of her on stage and it was like, wow, like those legs go all the way up.
Yeah. And boy, can she shake them, right?
Yeah. But even she looks beautiful in Only Murders in the Building. She's beautiful.
I think she breaks your heart in Only Murders in the Building.
I have not seen that season.
Everything I've seen her in since, she's just this proper classy older lady.
She's a bit slutty.
Have you not seen Orange or Stay in County with her and Julia Roberts? She plays it's a stage show. Turned into a film, and it's got Benedict Cumberbatch in, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep. There's a whole laundry list of cast, and she plays the patriarch mother who's just lost her husband to suicide. And she is a mean old drunk who just likes to drop these truth bombs every 2 minutes. And Meryl just plays it. It's like a complete contrast to the likes of Julia and Julia, which I absolutely adore, or even this. Meryl's got range. I choose Meryl.
I was gonna say, didn't watch her in Kramer versus Kramer. You didn't like her very much in that
one. No, you don't. Especially if you can get me on the side of Dustin Hoffman, there's something wrong.
Yeah. But
yeah.
I think this is part. So this is where I went into like the deep Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn acting training thing. Because Meryl Streep is like famously rebuffs all kind of like formal acting training. So she went to the Yale School of Drama, hated every second of it. and said it like really what you have to do is connect emotionally with a character. So she spends all of her prep work just trying to figure out like how can I fall in love with this character, because if I can then like be honest with the character, that's how I access it. And I think that's what gives her the range.
Absolutely.
I also think that's why she hated the special effects, because that is a very like distancing process. Like it's very like in the head rather than the heart.
Yeah, there's a complete disconnect, because there's more to it than just the actual being the person, being the character. It's then having to have like coordinations to then be this character. So I can totally understand that. They don't diss this film by any stretch. It's not a case of this is the worst thing they ever did. They just went in. These are two actresses
who... They just didn't like working with the special effects at all. And actually Goldie Hawn also doesn't have formal acting training. So she's a dancer by background.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny, because you get to see Meryl like shake her thing at the beginning, and I was like, oh, Meryl can dance too.
That whole sequence at the beginning is my favorite opening in a movie.
It gives me like Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend energy.
Have you heard the lyrics to the song though? Call her a narcissist, call her all sorts. It's actually a really cruel song about this. It's the men are singing about that. It's horrible. It's still so good.
But again, you've got to see her a little slutty, otherwise Lee's not interested. Yeah,
exactly. But again, even that scene right there when the people are leaving the cinema, well, leaving the theatre, you can't place that at 1978. No. I'm looking at like the 50s, 60s at that point. Yeah. Like the men with the hats. And
I was just about to say, because everyone's wearing a hat.
But I think that's probably
that wasn't a thing for the 70s.
But I think that's why
people...
And there
wasn't a beanie in sight in the 90s, really?
But I think that's why people were leaving, because it was very dated. It was very old-fashioned. It was not like modern, shall we say. But again, that's probably just take. But if you're going to choose the two, I'm always going to choose the redhead over the blonde. That's just simple. It's a science.
Good as I dyed your hair black now. It was red.
I dyed mine black too. Have we both got the red out?
Yeah. Are we just trying to get away from Paul?
Yeah. We're trying to leave the cult now. That's
trying
fine.
To join forces, are we now, Lee?
Yes. Yeah. So, if we're going to rate the movie, because we haven't rated a movie in a while, we're going to stay a little bit of the top crumbs here. So out of five, what would you rate this movie out of five? So I'm going to go with the debut turned. Phoebes, what are you giving this out of five?
I am giving it a 4 out of 5. A lot of new technology was created. I think a lot of other films owe it. It owes like high recognition. Mm-hmm. I do agree. Like, as much as it pains me, I agree with Lee. There are some like big holes in it, and not just in Goldie Hawn.
Or in Lee.
Or in Goldie Lee over there.
Goldie Lee!
Oh, a new phrase has been coined.
But also, like, it's fun. Like, watching Bruce Willis, Goldie Hawn, and Meryl Streep just kind of like crack punchlines. Mm-hmm. I could watch that for ages without any plot. So, yeah, 4 out of 5 for me.
Lee?
Cool.
It's only half a film, so I'm going to have to just go halfway and go 3.
Whoa, has Lee not given a movie a 5? Can you remember when he freaked out when he gave one a 4 and then he had to change it to a 5?
the structure's there, but it needed more to it.
Okay. I get that, because it, as a whole, when you watch the movie, it has great elements, but it doesn't feel like a complete movie at times.
Yeah.
It feels like there's certain things that's probably missing, but as Sammy said, that's probably stuff that's on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. Quite literally.
So, Sammy, what are you giving it?
I'm going to have to give it a 5.
Yep.
And mine is through the special effects, makeup, costume, aesthetic, and the nostalgia. This is, like I said, it's one of mine and my sister's favourite films. We have, you know, an idea of a Mash and Tattoo together that is all based around Death Becomes Her. They are actually my screensaver on my PC that I use to record. I have Helen and Madeline as my screen. It's actually this picture, just a little bit better. I think it's when they're staring at Ernest, you know, and they're going, please. It's that one. So for nostalgia reasons and for everything else I said, I need to give it a 5.
Cool. So I'm going to agree with Phoebes. I would probably say this is a 4. It's not a perfect movie. It's got... As I said, it was very ahead of its time. It changed how we made movies. It was one of the first and one of the films that's up there where it blends CGI and practical effects well to the point where the CGI isn't enough. They probably made this film now, they would just probably scrap the practical and do it all CGI, which probably would lose a bit of the magic. Again, I love Goldie Hawn, I love Bruce Willis, and again, Meryl Streep, not my favourite actress, but she is great in this movie. Everyone is kind of like on the A game, and it's just a fun, weird movie. Yeah. It's not the straightforward, like, kind of telling the story that you would normally get. It doesn't go the routes that you expect, and it kind of that for that. That's why I'm, like, say, always a little bit grateful and quite kind of like it. But yeah, this, I would have liked a more complete story, if that makes sense.
I totally get that. I would never take away from the fact that this movie isn't, you know, it's not without its flaws. It's just I'm not going to see them, and I don't particularly want to see that. Like, I'm happy with where I am with it. But this is the movie that is the perfect example of practical and CGI working together.
Yeah. Like, it's perfect harmony.
Yeah, exactly. And I would argue where the soul comes in. That's where you see it. Solely.
Oh, bless.
So,
Sammy, what's coming up tomorrow?
Tomorrow on the Monsters of North podcast, we are taking a dive into found footage. Mm-hmm. And actually, I can't believe it's taken this long. You know, again, with this one, it's taken this long to actually do this episode, but we are going down the Blair Witch project route tomorrow. I'm telling you now, you're in for an absolute treat. Dan is on her A game with this episode. So I urge you to watch it. It will be dropping at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it'll be out at 8 o'clock. Then you can pick it up during the day, watch whatever you want.
You can pick the audio up on it later on that day.
Just because she's got fans in foreign countries.
I got a one in Bali. And this sweet kid messaged us and said that he really liked the podcast.
Oh, bless her. So, Lee, what have you got coming out this week?
Oh, do you want to see it, Phoebe? Oh, no, I'll say it. Right, me and Phoebe this week are going to be doing Anime Club 2.0.
And it's a whole episode about Rock Lee.
Hashtag no Chris is allowed.
Yeah. Ew, no Chris.
Tuesday, we have been talking about the 2000, and is it 2000 or 2001 movie, Battle Royale? The Japanese school kid bloodbath gore fest.
It's basically Hunger Games.
Well, basically, this is what inspired the Hunger Games, I would think.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the Hunger Games, but it's not a character that we're talking about anymore.
No.
Because the wheel did say Nanahura from Battle Royale. Because we're a podcast now, we're going to be discussing films. Which all gave us the idea to start doing films and ranking them. So they're going to have their own stats and everything. And it's a really good episode, if I may say so myself.
Well, at least you've promoted it 10 times better than what Chris did last week. Ask Chris what he was doing. Well, I think.
I had to ask you in the chat.
Yeah.
So at least you've
I think I did a better job of, like... plugging Top Grumps on Anime Club.
And
you did fantastic with it. You plugged everything on that episode.
Yeah. And Anime Club. So tell us a little bit about that, Phoebes. Chris's little baby now.
We've been working hard for you. We're doing Cells at Work this week, which is a very, very cute anime all about, which is kind of like Osmosis Jones. I don't know if you remember that from the 90s, a cartoon
about that.
Cells in the body. Mm-hmm. It's like a similar vibe, but anime. So, come join us for that.
And when's it out?
Oh, Friday, 6 p.m.
See, we're getting there.
See, at least you knew.
Yes. Yeah, and if you've got suggestions... shove them in the comments. Come over to the Discord.
Yes, come to the Discord.
Come to Nerdy Up North Facebook.
Hook us up, yes. So next... Also, sorry.
Oh, wait, my friend. Because on Saturday, the countdown to Doomsday continues with Guardians of the Galaxy. We're still in 2014, haven't left yet. Still there. So we are,
The are you countdown... and Jake going to have a dance-off?
I didn't even think about that. Maybe. You have to find out on Saturday.
Is it going
to
be like this?
It's going to be like...
Yeah.
Have a dance off.
How are we going to compete with the dream
girls, man? Yes. So what happened?
I can't compete with it. And that's fudgy.
So they have but to have a dance off for like the save the universe.
Sound of Music background.
Yes, I thought that. I was like, why are girls alive
with EDM? Like, what's going on?
Alive with Chris's finger guns.
Yes.
Yes. And then next week.
Then next Sunday, we won't be live, unfortunately, because Sammy's going to be giving Anth a special treat for his 40th birthday. Wink, wink.
Well, I'm just going to be there.
Hang on a second.
This isn't on the... my presence, and he'll thank me
What's coming up on the 15th of March? Is that something to do with it, is it? Oh, no, the 14th of March, sorry.
Friday.
That's...
14th of March is a National Steak and Blowjob Day, isn't it?
That's a good job.
That is not a real day.
It is. Google it. It is a real day.
Right.
Also, Anne's birthday is the 15th. So.
But yeah, so we're going to be pre-recording the episode, and it'll go out next Sunday. And we are talking about Adam's family and Adam's family values. So.
Good job someone mentioned that today.
Yeah, so we're going to get Sammy to do the Adams Family rap, see how that goes.
I don't know whether to go, because obviously now my hair's black, I've got a choice. I can go Morticia or I could go Wednesday. I don't know.
Shave it, be Fester.
Shave your hair. Did anyone notice Kelly's comment at the beginning of the podcast when Lee came on? She just said, fucking emo Lee.
I've been seeing it all day.
Well, you do
and some what? Of you have seen me bald anyway, haven't you, with no hair? Back when I was Jason Statham.
Oh my God. I kind of keep up with the amount of characters that you've dropped in with. I still can't get over the Tombstone episode.
We talk about Meryl Streep's range, but no one's talking about Lee's range.
Exactly. Where is his Oscar?
Did Lee win best hash that day as well, didn't he? Yeah, bless him.
Thank Christ.
I look like I was feeding the kids. But and for everyone that's excited, just that we have announced as well, we are going to be having Action April, where Lee is going to be on the podcast for... I think most weeks except from the first week, which we're going to be doing Laurel and Hardy for...
That's very action-y.
Well, I promised someone we would do Laurel and Hardy soon, so that was what...
I know you
came.
Did, and...
Yeah, but...
It's part of classic, man. Classic.
It could still, classic it could still be action, Die Hardy.
The physical comedy from them two is totally... Yeah, it could canon, be cast as action. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you are on YouTube, please remember, like, share, subscribe, hit us up in the comments. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you like Death Becomes Her. Let us know if you don't like Death Becomes Her. Let us know if you like Lee's hair or Lee's hole. We need to know.
Yeah.
And also hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode from anywhere from the Nerdy Up North channel. That's Sammy. It for my plugin.
Just to finish off, I know, like I say, we've got a few other things coming out this month. We've got the lovely Kelly and Sonia coming back for the Stephen King's episode of It. We're going to do the talk about the book and the movies. And we do have the wonderful Becca and Phoebes returning to finish the month, where we're talking about Star Wars The Force Awakens. So
oh, that's right.
we're taking the Trekkie ladies and we're going to make them Star Wars fans. But yes.
I'll have to introduce you to my Jar Jar, so you can get on board with that, Phoebe.
Okay, that sounds like an order, which I'm kind of into, but...
Yes. Oh, you mate.
So on that note,
same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone! Bye!